Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up? You're tuned into The Recruit with Adrian Reese, brought to you by Sora Radio. Big ups to PDP Richardson. And I'm very excited about the show today. You know, it seems to get better and better every week. And like my grandma used to say, gooder and gooder as we go. But I'm excited about my guest I have on the show today. She's a very special lady in my life. I've grown to know her better and will continue to grow to know her for quite a while to come. But she's someone that we went to high school together. We're both from Longview, Texas. Went to high school together and graduated the same year. But she's someone that I've always respected because of the life that she lives, the way she always carried herself, you know, in a respectable manner. She wasn't, you know, just out doing whatever, saying whatever, and just she stood out, but in a unique and in a special in a good way. And it's something that really drew me to her. And, we graduated together, went our separate ways in college. We were mutual. We had mutual friends and kind of linked back up after college. Started dating a little bit, you know, how that goes on and off. And then kind of fell off for a long while. And she wasn't really feeling me anymore. But then, you know, she kind of warmed up to me. Then after about 2 years, we linked back up and started dating again and got serious. And on last week, we just got engaged. And, with no further ado, I present Miss Michonne Taylor, soon to be Reese. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me on, Adrian.
Now, I've given a brief introduction for you, but tell people a little bit about yourself.
Well, like you said, my name is Michonne Taylor, soon to be Reese. I grew up in East Texas, Longview, Texas, and born and raised there, went to high school there. And soon after that, after graduating, I went to Houston to attend the University of Houston. And after graduating from Houston with my bachelor's, I decided to go ahead and move to Dallas to be a little closer to family. And so that's where I currently reside. I live in Dallas, Texas, and I work here full-time in ministry. And so that's just my life right now. That's how things are going for me right now.
And that's what's up. You know, you say you went to Houston, to U of A. So how was it going from little old Longview to a big city like Houston?
It was good. You know, I really didn't have anyone down there that I knew. I was the only person from Longview that I knew going down there. And then when I actually moved down, I linked up with one of my friends from Longview that I went to middle school with. So that was a blessing in itself that I kind of wanted to go somewhere where I didn't know anyone, but just having a familiar face was nice. And going from the small town of Longview to the big city of Houston, it was definitely a transition, but it's something that I loved and appreciated. I love Houston so much.
Now, was it, I had a brief stint in Houston myself and also fell in love with the city, but, you know, back then, that was back in my BC days, so it was a little bit for the wrong reason. But nonetheless, you know, that's another topic. But like you said, you work for a women's ministry, so you know that's pretty interesting. That's not something that's not just a common job that you hear about. So is that something you've always wanted to do, or always thought you would be involved in?
Well, like you said, I do work in women's ministry. I've always had a heart for ministry in general. I can remember in high school starting a ministry with some of my friends. And we were seniors, and we wanted to kind of bring in the freshmen, and we wanted to set them on the right road. So we called the ministry that we held in my house, INA, and it's still for I'm Not Alone. And so I've always had just a heart for those who were just a season behind me. So at that point, I was a senior. The girls behind me, we could, you know, they were freshmen, and we wanted to just bring them in and kind of be a good example for them and teach them about Christ. And so in this season, I do work full-time in ministry, but my heart is just for not just women, but for those who are believers, and then for us to not only be believers, but to equip the saved to save the lost. So it's an awesome opportunity that I get to work in ministry now.
And that's awesome. Just like you said about the name of the ministry in high school, I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, you know, me personally, I can attest to, that I felt there were so many times that I myself felt alone.
Mm-hmm.
When I first got saved and gave my life to Christ and changed what I was doing and some of the people that I was hanging around, at times it felt as if I was alone. And, you know, like I said, I know you, knowing you throughout high school and kind of knowing your spiritual walk and seeing you walk it out daily and how you kind of didn't do certain things or did things that other people didn't do. Was there ever any time that you felt alone? And is that why, what inspired more so that name?
Huh, that's a good question. What inspired the name is that I didn't want the girls to feel like they were walking alone, whether that be figuratively or literally. I didn't want them walking through the hallways alone. I didn't want them having to journey through all those season changes alone. I had a really good friend in high school. She was my best friend, and we both were strong believers in Christ. And so, fortunately, I didn't have to walk alone in the high school season. When I got to college, it was a little bit different for a little while, you know, getting to know new people. But at the start of the ministry, the I'm Not Alone ministry, I wasn't walking alone. I had my best friend, and so I kind of wanted them to have that as well.
And that's great to know that even at that age in high school, mm-hmm. you had that desire and that heart for others. Because, I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I know me. Yeah, I cared about other people, but I wasn't always the one to go out of my way
mm-hmm.
to try to serve them or do things for them. But how would you describe your relationship with Christ? How did you come to know Christ?
I came to know Christ at a very young age. I was 4 years old, and at that time, I can honestly say that my salvation came from fear. I just didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to accept Christ and go to heaven and be with my family. So at that time, that's what it was about, and I still remember it to this day. You know, it's just clear. As I can remember it, it happened, and I walked to the front of the church, and I talked to the pastor and told him I wanted to accept Christ into my life. And, you know, the Lord knew my heart. And so as I journeyed on, even though it started with the motivation of just not wanting to go to hell, the Lord began to stir up affections towards him in my life. And he began to make it more about a heart to please him. And so what that meant was at the age of 5 and 6 and 7, all I knew was you need to respect your parents. I said, okay, I'll respect my parents. I'll do that. You need to, you know, not lie, not steal, not, well, kill, if that's, I mean, obviously. But all of those things. So the way in which I served the Lord at that age is that I asked my mom, tell me everything I'm not supposed to do. Tell me everything I'm not supposed to do, and I'll do it because I love the Lord. And so that was the beginning of my journey in coming to know the Lord. And at this moment, I would say my relationship with the Lord has kind of rocked my world over the last couple of years. I have been saved since I was 4. But I would say at the age of 24, just getting out of college and everything, that's when the Lord really began to pursue me and to pursue a deeper relationship with me. And I began to see him manifest himself in my life in a deeper way. So that was a great process that I'm still currently going through, is just being freed from a lot of legalism and checklists and just really resting in the Lord's grace and his love and his acceptance of me. So.
And that's amazing hearing you say, you know, you accepted Christ at 4 years old. And I can remember the first time you told me that.
Mm-hmm.
And how, you know, I kind of laughed because I'm like, man, you're four years old, you know, you don't even know what's going on, what's happening
mm-hmm.
at 4 years old. I'm like, I don't remember what happened when I was seven.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way you can remember or you were in your right mind, or I wouldn't say in your right mind, but just really understood
mm-hmm.
accepting Christ.
Yeah.
And so, but how would you say for someone else who has that similar outlook on it, like I had,
mm-hmm.
about, you know, there's no way
mm-hmm.
that you could be that young and knowingly accept Christ, what would you say to those people?
Well, I think that's funny because when I was four, I had that same doubt, you know, can I be four and really accept Christ into my heart, and what does that mean? And, you know, at four, you're looking for this great change. You're looking for something different to happen. And the Lord just coming into our lives is just so simple and so easy. He begins to stir our affections for him, and the Holy Spirit coming into our heart may not always be this big turnaround, and it wasn't at four. You know, my life went on the same. I just had desires to please him. But I'll say that from the age of four to the age of seven, I prayed every night, and I said, Lord, if I'm not saved, then please save me. And I was so diligent about praying that, and that even shows me today that my heart was so pure and just wanting to be a believer and just wanting to be a part of God's family. And I was like, you know, I'll pray every day until I die if that's what it takes. And I remember talking to my pastor at age seven and telling him, you know, I accepted Christ, but I really want to make sure that I was old enough to do it. And he just so sweetly and so calmly told me that, you know, you accepted him once and that's all. You know, you are a believer, you are a child of God, and so go and be free and live in that freedom. And so it was a great thing. So for those who kind of doubt, you know, when your little nieces or nephews or cousins or even your kids may say at the age of four, you know, that they want to accept Christ, that the gospel is so simple that even children can understand it, and they can come into the full knowledge of Christ at a young age. So,
and that's something, you know, I know your story,
mm-hmm.
and I've heard you explain that to me, and that opened my eyes to the fact of how it is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then just after hearing your testimony of that and remembering how the Bible says that we should be as little children,
mm-hmm.
because when you're a little kid, you just accept what adults tell you. You accept it as truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we should treat the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You know, we just accept it as truth. We don't ask questions, you know, how can that be? We don't have all of this knowledge that we obtain throughout the years to create skepticism. We just accept it
mm-hmm.
because we have nothing else to go off of. And that's how God tells us to be as Christians, as his children,
mm-hmm.
to just accept what he says, to not always look at, well, it doesn't add up,
mm-hmm.
or that's not how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But just say, okay, that's what you said, that's what I'm going to go with. And
if I can chime in, another thing is when you're a child and you have a childlike faith, you think about your parents, and your parents have to do everything for you. They have to teach you how to walk. They have to teach you how to talk. They have to teach you how to eat. They have to teach you every single thing.
Mm.
And that's what the Lord is calling us to do. You know, so often we're so puffed up with pride that, you know, the Lord can barely get a word through to us, and he's like, I want to teach you how to walk. I want to teach you how to talk. I want to teach you how to go forth and make disciples. And so I know that that's what God calls us to have, is faith in him like small children, so that he can teach us in every single area of our lives, in our jobs, in our relationships, in our friendships, and every area. He wants to teach us how to be like him. He's growing us up. We're babes in Christ, and he grows us up to mature Christians. So, yeah.
And that's, now y'all see why I got him. I mean, that's amazing. You know, that's amazing. And how you said, that's what God wants, total dependence on him.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Because that's what his word tells us to mm-hmm. do, to walk by faith and not by sight,
mm-hmm.
meaning that we're not going to be able to see how everything is going to happen, what's the next step to take, mm-hmm. but you just trust him. Mm-hmm. And just like you said, as little kids, anytime we're in a dangerous situation, say like crossing the street,
mm-hmm.
first thing we do, we reach up and we grab our parents' hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God wants us to do, to walk with him, mm-hmm. to let him guide us, to let him protect us, not just in dangerous situations, but in every day, mm-hmm. in our every step, in everyday life. And, you know, being so young, like you said, you got saved when you were 4 and you grew in the knowledge and understanding of Christ. And so being so young and saved, do people give you a hard time? Do they ever give you a hard time about things that you did or didn't do?
I don't think so. Not really. I think my cousins, when I was really, really young, kind of gave me a hard time about following all the rules and all of that. But as I grew into it, being a teenager and all of that, my parents really respected me. It seemed as though they had a lot of respect for the decisions that I made, for the lifestyle that I strive to live, and by no means perfection at all. You know, the Lord is still stripping me daily, and I feel like I'm in a season of a whole lot of stripping. But no, I think that my peers were very supportive of my spiritual life, and also that a lot of times they would come to me, and so I would be able to be used as a vessel within my school and within my friendships and all of that for Christ. And so, you know, no, I feel like I was supported, and I didn't have a lot of pushback when it came to standing for what I believed.
And that's something that I think we all needed to hear,
mm-hmm.
and needed to know, because I know me being younger, I didn't get saved. I didn't come to know Christ for myself until I was 23 years old, I'm sorry. But, you know, as a kid and growing up, that was always something I kind of feared, you know, what other people would say, or if they would talk about me, or I wouldn't be cool, considered cool, my homeboys wouldn't hang with me no more, or whatever it may be. And so it's like I said, just hearing your testimony and how you said it wasn't like that. And that's a testament to everyone out there that, hey, it's not like that. Regardless of what you've heard, people may say things about you,
mm-hmm.
but at the end of the day, just like Michonne said, she was able to be a light,
mm-hmm.
because that's what God has called us to do. And anyone who chooses to walk with God,
mm-hmm.
he's going to allow that light to shine,
mm-hmm.
within their lives. And how people, like you said, people came to you and sometimes and asked different advice or whatever it may be, or just kind of vented to you,
mm-hmm.
that showed that your walk was shedding light on their situation,
mm-hmm.
or was inspiring to them or encouraging to them or whatever it may be,
mm-hmm.
enough for them to be drawn to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing, because, like I said, they were drawn to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what light does.
Mm-hmm.
You are drawn to the light.
Mm-hmm.
And it also speaks to the fact that you weren't being so boastful,
mm-hmm.
or I don't even know if that's the word I want to use, but your light wasn't too bright to where it was repelling them. Because at different times, you know, if you look directly into the light, it's too bright and you're going to look away. But in the light that was shining throughout your life, throughout your heart, it was drawing people in. It wasn't pushing them away from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, even though they didn't know they were coming to know Christ, Christ was in you. And so the things that were coming out of you was that of Christ. And so was there, but, you know, I also want to know, was there ever any time that you ever questioned your decision?
Was there any time I questioned my decision? I think that college was a really tough season for me, in that I didn't have the close-knit friends, and back home in Longview, East Texas, I had my family. And so, you know, my family believed the same things that I believe. So, you know, when you're surrounded by people of like-mindedness, it's easy. You know, and so when I went to college, when I went off to the University of Houston, there was this amazing ministry called Women of the Word at the University of Houston. And they just poured into me, and they helped me to grow. And I still have really, really close friends from within that ministry. But before meeting them, I would say my first year of college, it was really difficult for me. So I wouldn't say that I doubted my decision, but I would say that I for the first time had to stand on my own faith. I had to stand on my own two feet. I didn't have mom on a call, and I was, you know, feeling low or down. Mm-hmm. Or I could call her, but, you know, she wasn't there.
Yeah.
I didn't have her lap to lay in, or I didn't have daddy protecting me and all of those things, you know. So when the schemes of the enemy started, you know, coming, I fell to the wayside in some ways, and in some ways I walked uprightly. And so I think that was the beginning of the legalism, where I wanted to fit in. I think in college I wanted to fit in more than I cared about fitting in high school. And so I caved to some of the Lord's standards for my life, and not saying that the Lord didn't love me anymore, but I don't believe that my life was as great of a reflection to him in college as it was maybe, you know, growing up in my childhood. So
do you feel like you've grown, your faith has grown stronger since those college years, like you said, having to, when you stepped out, when you stepped out and had to really, in a sense, put feet to your face?
Yeah, I definitely do. I think in college I was just like, you know what, let me just do what I have to do and get out of here, you know. Going to church was pretty much my relationship with the Lord as far as behind the scenes, you know, immersing myself in the word and prayer and really kingdom. That was kind of on the back burner for me. I was all about school, and I was all about my friends and making sure I fit in. And but now that I'm out of college, it's like the Lord brought me back to a place of standing alone. And so after college and having these expectations of getting out of school and getting this job and having this security and having this whatever, the Lord saying, you know, I'm trying to bring you to a complete dependency on me. So the last 3 years, the Lord has been shaping me and molding me into the woman of God that he's called us as women to be. And I've heard so many testimonies of women just in general in this post-college season, which I now have a heart for college women, just to truly depend on him, not to depend on that college degree to carry you, not to depend on that man to carry you, not to depend on anything to carry you but him, to make those life decisions. And I feel like at this point, at, you know, 24, 25, 26, is kind of probably one of the toughest seasons for young adults, because we're having to make so many decisions, and we don't have that idea of, okay, when I graduate college, I'm just going to be this huge ordeal, or we don't have that safety net of parents, and if you're not yet married, you don't have that safety net of marriage, and it's like complete, utter dependence on Christ. And so, yes, in the last 3 years since I've been out of college, I can truly say that my relationship has gone to another level. My understanding of community and what that means and why we need it and why we can't do life alone, why God has called us to walk in community has been huge, and why God has called us to have accountability has been huge for me in this season. So just really not taking scripture as a fortune cookie and taking out of it the scriptures that I want and say, okay, this applies to me, but really just diving into God's word and looking for Christ in every piece and not necessarily looking for what's going to make me show and feel good, you know. So.
And this, you know, you hit on something, piggyback off of something that you said about when you being a woman and going to college and not being able to, and coming out of college and, you know, in a way wanting to, feeling like you were going to get that job or things were going to come together because of the things you had accomplished and your college degree and your education and almost becoming independent. And so, you know, and I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that I understand all that women go through or anything that they feel, but that's my question to you. Do you feel that your education, your college degree, the independence that you gain in college, in the season that you're in now, of being engaged and having to merge your life and with another man, you know, me, and do you find that it's a little bit more challenging? Because I know in the world today, you know, women are more encouraged to be independent, to be independent, to have your own stuff. You know, you got phone, you know, got my own this, own that. You're encouraged to do that. And so do you feel like that makes it, that has made it a little bit more challenging for you in this season that you're in now and in engagement and trying to come together and merge and not just stand on your own as you've been learned to do, but to stand with someone else?
Definitely. I feel like, yeah. I mean, I definitely feel like it has its challenges. And like I said, when I was in college, my rest and my dependency wasn't on Christ. My rest and my dependency and my hope was found in that degree. I was for sure that it was going to carry me. And, you know, even after that little moment, going into having your own job and having your own money and having your own, you know, home and car and all those things, you know, that we, you know, as women in the world set so high, on such a high pedestal, that when we are in a relationship and when a man does come into our life and he does want to lead, we don't know how to allow that. And I think a lot of it is because we don't really understand what that means. And I think we, and I know for me, I thought that meant that I was less. You know, I thought that me, the Lord saying, okay, this is the man that's going to be in your life. This is the man who's going to be your head when you guys get married. And as I prayed, Lord, show me what that looks like. I had a struggle. You know, I had a struggle with that role, what that would look like as a wife. Does that make me less independent, or does that, you know, make me weak, or all of those things? And I really had to get into my word and learn. And I have a beautiful mentor, and she's so faithful in mentoring me and a couple of my friends. But she just talked to us about the role of a woman and what that means. And so I feel like the Lord has called us to a position in where, you know, a man isn't above a woman in value, but his position is the position of a head, and the woman's position is the position of a helpmate. And that doesn't mean that his position is more important. It just means that they serve two totally different roles. And so once I began to understand that, and still am, don't get me wrong, I still struggle with it. Adrian will attest to that. But once I began to understand that, the Lord gave me strength to walk in that. You know, he gave me strength to walk in that role as I began to pray and ask him to help me to learn to embrace the role that he's called me to. And we can't do anything without God's strength, you know, anything at all. Every day, you know, we as women are called to, not even women, you know, but I know that women a lot of times struggle with their emotions. And for me, every day I have to wake up and pray, Lord, help me to master my emotions. You know, anything that I don't master will master me. And so the enemy is waiting to prowl on us. And so even the idea of I can't be in this, you know, I'm too independent, I'm too self-sufficient, it's like, no, you're not self-sufficient. Actually, the Lord is the one who you're dependent upon, even whether you know it or not. You're dependent upon the Lord, because everything that we have is the Lord, everything. And so you have dependency on someone. It's the Lord. You may not acknowledge it as that, but when the Lord places your hand in your spouse's hand, he calls us to that role. And another thing, Adrian, I'm sorry, I think I'm going a little long.
No, go ahead.
But another thing is that God calls us to this before we get married. So I think that if we begin practicing serving the brothers in our lives, our brothers in Christ in our lives, if we practice being a helpmate and encouraging them in their passions and their dreams and helping them to move forward and serving them and loving on them and all of those things, I think if we truly learn that our role is not just about a wife, but it's also just about a woman and what we're called to be as women, it would be a much easier transition. So that's not something that I always embraced or always knew. You know, I just knew that when I get married, I'm supposed to cook and clean, you know. So I was like, I don't want to do that. But the Lord is just teaching me what it is to be a woman. So.
And that's, you said a lot of good things. And the whole concept of roles is something that is kind of a hot topic. But it may push a little button or rub people the wrong way or women the wrong way or it may be even men also, mm-hmm. but it may rub them the wrong way in the sense of they don't want to be they feel confined,
mm-hmm.
or that a role they don't want to be confined to a role.
Mm-hmm.
But just like you said, God has called us all to play a role,
mm-hmm.
you know, because His Word tells us that we're all one body.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just on my body here, my hand has a role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my feet have a role.
Mm-hmm.
My knee has a role. My head has a role. But if those individual parts don't play their role, then the entire body
mm-hmm.
does not function properly.
And it's the same thing with the body of Christ. You know,
mm-hmm.
we all have a role in the body. And if everybody's trying to be the pastor, everybody's trying to lead the worship team, then it all crumbles. You know,
mm-hmm.
God has given each one of us giftings, and so He's called us to be the body, to work as the body, and so that means that we act in those roles. But for some reason, I think it's a little bit harder for us when we're behind closed doors and we're with our husbands and our wives to submit to those roles.
Oh man, that's that S word. Something that women, you know, I'm not gonna take that back. Some people don't want to hear, submit.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, but at the same time, on the flip side, you know, there's some men can take that way out of context
uh-huh.
of what submission means
uh-huh.
from a wife.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, that's something that me and you in talking and in dating and our relationship growing and just in learning and coming to know Christ better
uh-huh.
as a couple, we've learned and kind of grown and are still growing so far
mm-hmm.
and still have so far to go in growing into our roles of what submission really means because, yes, the Bible, you know, hits on the fact that a wife is to submit to the husband.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's something that God has really been making real in my life and giving me a better understanding of is that the fact that submission takes part on both ends,
mm-hmm.
because the husband has to first submit to God,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and ultimately the wife is submitting to the husband, but she's submitting to the God within that man, and so it's not that he's her ruler,
mm-hmm.
that she has to, you know, do every little thing that he says as if he rules her,
mm-hmm.
but it's the fact that the same God that's head over his life
mm-hmm.
has placed him in a leadership role.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so she's not submitting to him, the man,
mm-hmm.
but she's submitting to the God that's within that man.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that brings to life how the Bible tells us to not be unequally yoked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because if you have a woman with a man who's not a believer, then ultimately she's submitting to a man who's only thinking of man and of his flesh and of his desires and not ultimately of what Christ has called him to do.
Right.
And the same vice versa, because if you have a man who's living for God and he's with a woman who's not a believer,
mm-hmm.
then she's not going to easily or readily accept
mm-hmm.
the things that he tries to lead them in doing,
mm-hmm.
because she's not ultimately seeing that, okay, it's God leading me through this man,
mm-hmm.
and not this man leading me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's amazing. Like, and you know, that's something that I know that we all, at one point or another, struggle with, just
mm-hmm.
submission.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, it's not just a woman
mm-hmm.
that has to submit. It's a man also, and I'm learning that every single day
mm-hmm.
because I'm learning in a relationship, you know, in a fruitful relationship, in order for a relationship to be fruitful, God has to be at the center.
Yeah.
God has to be at the center. And me as a man, I have to constantly go to God in prayer.
Yeah.
Constantly ask God for direction. Constantly ask God for guidance in leading you and us.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to lead us astray.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as men, you know, that's what we're called to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're called to be leaders, but who's leading us?
Mm-hmm.
That's at the end of the day. That's what matters most.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in this season that you're in and being engaged, how does it feel? And you know, I know as well. I can't say I'm trying to say stop saying I know because
mm-hmm.
I don't. I'm not absolutely sure about anything about women. You know, it's a mystery always. But
yeah,
you know, women speak about always dreaming of getting married,
mm-hmm.
being engaged,
mm-hmm.
and so how does it feel, you know, being at this point, and how was the waiting period?
Well, I would say that it feels surreal. I think that you kind of wait on it your entire life. You're anxious about it. You're expecting about it. And, you know, once it actually happens, it's kind of like, huh, it's here. And, you know, there's this amazing man of God who desires to take me out of every other woman in the world, to take me as his wife. And so, and I say yes to him, you know, out of every man in the world, I say yes to him, which is absolutely phenomenal and amazing and great. But I will say that in this courting season that we've been in, I'll say that it's been an interesting one. It's full of surprises in that the Lord has really made our relationship a mirror to me, you know, to show me all of the ways in which, you know, I can be selfish, or I could be spoiled, or I could be prideful, or I could be whatever those things would be. And so in our relationship, the Lord has truly used it to strip me and to grow me closer to himself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of crazy that, it is crazy that we're engaged and I'm all excited and all that, but it's like I'm not so focused on that because of what the Lord is truly doing within my heart, you know, everything that he's doing within me. So I'm excited, you know, to marry this amazing man who loves the Lord, who follows the Lord.
What?
Who follows the Lord, who's led by the Lord. But also, you know, I'm excited to see as my season changes how God is beginning to prune different things out of me. So it's kind of cool to see that. And I was talking to a girlfriend of mine the other day and just talking to her about the season of singleness and how the Lord allows you to walk just you and him for a season of singleness. And I don't believe that once you get engaged or once you find a guy who wants to court you, I don't believe that means you have gone to the next level in God or anything like that. I think that we kind of make it seem like that. I'm like, okay, Lord, if I'm good enough, if I do enough for you, if I serve in ministry enough, you'll give me my husband. I don't see it that way. I see that the Lord has walked with me through a season of singleness, and at his ordained time, he's called someone else to walk alongside of me. And so it's like this, not a race in that we're running and trying to hurry up and get to the end, but it's a race in where we're walking towards Christ and we're pursuing Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point we're pursuing him and we're kind of walking just us and him alone. And then at one point a man and a woman kind of start walking together down this road to the same goal. And, you know, in a race, you don't sit on the sidelines and wait and look at men or women pass by and say, oh, I want that one. You know, you're constantly, consistently pursuing Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then that person that the Lord has for you just comes along and walks with you. And then that's the rest of your journey. You know, half of the time you walk by yourself and then the other half the Lord has given you someone. And that takes you to a different level of serving, you know, when God calls us to marriage, he calls us to serve. Our marriage is a ministry. One of my friends said to us, we have a guy and a girl who's a couple, and they kind of minister to us all the time. And she said to me one time, you know, if you're not ready to minister, you're not ready to be married. And the Lord has called us into this ministry of marriage, which means that every single day we have to show the love of Christ to each other. And in us doing that, we get to show the love of Christ to the world through our marriage. So it's an exciting season, but also it's a season that is uncharted territory. So I'm excited to see what the Lord is going to do, a little bit fearful, but, you know, God didn't give us the spirit of fear. So.
Mm-hmm. No, you're not scared.
I'm not scared.
And that's, like you said, I think that's something that, you know, a lot of women can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, I'm not a woman, but at the same time, I know that it may, everything that you said about the waiting period,
mm-hmm.
and about, you know, the different things that you experienced during that period,
mm-hmm.
and how like you said about the race, the analogy you gave about the race and walking towards Christ, which is ultimately our finish line.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And in walking towards Christ, he allows, you know, men to cross your path.
Mm-hmm.
And something that, you know, you and I have always talked about and kind of use as an example in our relationship is we have this picture of a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the relationship triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And at the bottom two corners, you have a man.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman.
Mm-hmm.
At the corner, separate. And as you're coming up to a point and as you're growing closer to God, God is at the top of the triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And as the man and the woman is growing closer to God, they're also coming closer to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because and that's something I really see
mm-hmm.
coming to life in you know, us merging our lives and walking and working towards marriage is in growing closer to God, he's bringing us closer together.
Mm-hmm.
And how the Bible says, like me asking you about the waiting period,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the Bible tells us, and everybody always throws this scripture out there, that a man who finds a wife finds a good thing. And trying in saying that, you know, the man is the one looking,
mm-hmm.
and the woman shouldn't be looking. And, you know, I agree with that. And, you know, and some people, a lot of times people use it out of context,
mm-hmm.
but I definitely agree with it, for one, because it's the word of God.
Yeah.
And two, because I see it now,
mm-hmm.
because I understand that, you know, the man in his role is the one that pursues.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the man when he's pursuing and when he's looking to God and when he's looking for a wife and when he's focused on God,
mm-hmm.
God allows different women to cross his path who may be suitable
mm-hmm.
to his liking, but it's up to that man to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because, you know, that was my testimony. That's my testimony now
mm-hmm.
because, you know, there was a period in time after I got saved about 2 years in and I felt like I was never going to find anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I was never going to find a wife. I'm never going to get married. I'm like, God, you know, I'm doing everything for you. Like, I need somebody. You know, your word says it's not good for man to be alone, mm-hmm. but I'm all by myself. What's up? And, but it, just staying faithful to God,
mm-hmm.
it helped me to find my wife, my helpmeet,
mm-hmm.
someone that is along to assist me in accomplishing the goals God has for me. And, just like it says, the word says that a man that finds a wife mm-hmm. finds a good thing. So it's not really for the woman to go out and just pursue men, but at the same time, in that by the man looking to God, and like I said, God allows women to cross his path, the right woman to cross his path,
mm-hmm.
but also it takes the woman
mm-hmm.
being focused on God, following Christ in order for God to position her
mm-hmm.
in plain sight of that man.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And that's something, thank you. But it's all God. And, you know, it's all God. But it takes us both following Christ.
Yeah.
And it's just us living his word.
Mm-hmm.
And telling us, because the Bible tells us in Matthew, I believe, 6:33, to seek ye first
mm-hmm.
the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things will be added. And that all, A-L-L, includes everything and excludes nothing.
And I'll say, too, I was actually going to bring that scripture up because I've always heard that scripture, but I never knew what it meant practically to seek ye first the kingdom. And I didn't understand. So I thought that meant, okay, well, let me go to church every night this week and let me volunteer in all these ministries and let me do, you know, and basically try to work myself into the blessings of the Lord. And it was just such a false understanding of what Christ meant. And I had my mentor, I have the privilege of being in a Maria's group, and it's just a group of us women who get together, who sit and just immerse ourselves in the Lord's word. And it's been very impactful, but we all asked her, you know, what does it mean to seek ye first the kingdom? Like, what does that mean practically in Matthew 6:33? And she had us turn to Romans 14:17. And it broke down exactly what the kingdom of God is. And so in Romans 14 and 17, it calls us to seek the kingdom. What the kingdom is seeking righteousness, peace, and joy. And so the way we seek the kingdom in a practical way is that we seek righteousness with our bodies, which means that we obey him, which means every single thing in the word of God with our hands and our feet, we are the hands and feet of Christ. And so we act in obedience. And to seek peace means that we seek peace in our minds, which means that we immerse ourselves in the word every single day. It means that we get in our word, that we grow stronger and closer to Christ, that we grow in faith and in love of Christ and of others. And then when we seek joy with our spirits, and all of these things precede joy. So if we're seeking righteousness in our bodies, then we're seeking peace in our minds through immersing ourselves in God's word, then joy will come. And so I think that makes it more practical, is that, okay, Lord, what does it mean for me right now in this single season to seek you first? It means that with our bodies, we're obedient to God, and that's absent of emotion. Whether we are feeling it or whether we're not feeling it, you can act in obedience. And my mentor said, you can act in obedience with your hands and your feet, even if your emotions don't feel like it, and that's true freedom. To be obedient with your hands and your feet, apart from your emotions, is true freedom. And we can pursue peace in our minds by immersing ourselves in God's word immersing ourselves in God's word every day. And then joy is to follow. So that's how we do that. That's what it means to seek God's kingdom first. And then, yes, we give, you know, to the poor. We go ye therefore and we make disciples. We minister to others. But all of those things come out of an overflow of what the Lord is already doing in our hearts. So if the Lord if we aren't getting in our words and seeing how the Lord loves us, how do we expect to go out and show love to others? How do we expect to be an overflow? We're not. We're going to go out there. We're going to have attitude. We're going to be mad because it's hot trying to serve others like Christ, but we really haven't truly received Christ's love. So, I just wanted to throw that little nugget in there because that was always kind of vague for me when it came to seeking first the kingdom.
Yeah, and that's something that, that's teaching that we all need.
Mm-hmm.
And because we all need a better understanding of God's word, and because the Bible tells us to set it to show ourselves approved.
Mm-hmm.
And so even with you breaking that down, I encourage every listener, everybody, to get in God's word yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Get your own understanding, because just like Michonne explained that was through her understanding, her opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the end of the day, she's just a mere woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a mere man. But you have to get your own understanding of God, of Jesus Christ himself. And like she said, we have to have that understanding in order to help others understand. We have to first be recruited in order to recruit others. We have to first be a follower in order to recruit others to follow along. And, you know, that brings me to, you know, just the time now to where I just want to offer whoever's listening who doesn't know Christ, who haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and to just welcome him into your heart and to invite him into your heart, into your life, and accept him as your Savior. And I would ask that you, wherever you are, whatever you may have done, whatever you think you've done wrong, or whatever you feel you can't get out of or can't leave behind, to just give it to God, to just repeat after me, repeat this prayer and accept Jesus Christ into your heart. And no matter what you've done, we've all done wrong, we're going to continue to do wrong in the past because we all fall short of the glory. And so I would just ask that wherever you are, whatever condition you're in, to just repeat this prayer and accept Jesus Christ into your life. So let's go to God in prayer. Lord, I come to you confessing that I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in my place and for my sin. I now am trusting him alone to give me and to forgive me and give me the gift of eternal life that he promised to give to anyone that came to him for it. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, and help me from this day forward to to live a life pleasing to you. Amen.
Amen.
And I'd like to be the first to tell you, congratulations. Welcome to the team. And just like Michonne hit on just a second ago, with living for Christ, you know, in that prayer that we just said, that's your verbal commitment. With every recruiting process, you know, there comes a time for commitment. Either you're going to say yes or you're going to say no. And with that commitment that you just made, that's your verbal commitment. That's something you say with your mouth. But the binding commitment, signing on a dotted line, comes every day in the life that you live. And like she said, serving with your hands and your feet and walking it out and living the life, that's when you sign on a dotted line, and that's when you let your life speak for itself. And the way you grow in knowledge of Christ and allow the Holy Spirit and welcome the Holy Spirit in is to get in your word. You know, Michonne told us that just a second ago, get in your word, to seek God, to really pray and seek an understanding of his word, of his heart's intent through what his word says. And, you know, I'd like to take this time to just thank Miss Taylor right now, but the future Mrs. Reese, for being on with me today. It was a pleasure, and, you know, now you guys can see how, you know, I just want to tell every man, every guy that who may have felt like I did 2 years ago, like living for God, it wasn't paying off, like I was just going to be alone forever. I want you to take a look at my life and let that be a testimony, a testament to how living for God and walking with God, he'll bring you your goddess. Because Michonne, I can honestly say she is my goddess. But at the same time, I don't put her above my God. But, you know, in walking with God and keeping my eyes on God, he positioned her to where I can see her. And I thank him for it. You know, I'm excited about this period that we're in, the season that we're in. But, you know, I just like to, Michonne, is, you know, tell the people whatever way that it is that they can keep up with you or whether they can get in contact with you or keep up with just what's going on, what's happening in your life.
Well, you can definitely, if you have any questions or anything like that, you can definitely email me at MichonneTaylor@gmail.com. And also, I am on Instagram, so it's me, Michonne, is my Instagram. I guess, what is that? Your handler or whatever? I don't know. And then also, you can find me on Facebook, just under Michonne Taylor. And
soon to be Reese.
Just hoping that we were able to touch some heart, you know, today. I definitely, being saved at four definitely does not mean that my testimony, that I don't have a testimony, because I most certainly do. The Lord has brought me through a lot in regards to legalism and trying to work my way into salvation and not really understanding and receiving his grace. And so if you were saved at a very young age, you know, I would definitely encourage just to truly search your heart as far as why you do the things that you do for Christ. Is it so that you feel, you can feel like you earned your righteousness, or is it because you truly want to work out your love for the Lord? And then if you were saved at a younger age, I mean at an older age, I'm sorry, blessings over your testimony and how the Lord has saved you and how he has pursued you and redeemed you and loved you into himself. And I'm just so thankful for those beautiful testimonies. And,
you know, I just want to say thank you again to my beautiful fiance for being on with me today. It definitely blessed me, and I know it blessed everybody out there. And like she said, she gave you her info to where you can keep up with her, follow her, contact her, however you whatever it is that you want to do. And, you know, you can follow your boy, me, on Twitter and Instagram at Soul, S-O-U-L, underscore, Fisherman. Again, that's at Soul, underscore, Fisherman, because that's what we're doing. We're recruiting for Christ, but ultimately we're recruiting souls for Christ, because that's what he's called us to do, to be fishermen of men. Yes. And so you can check me out, hit me up, shoot me an email at my blog, www.adrianreese.com, and just holler at your boy and like I said, everybody, whoever it may be, the ones who accepted Christ on tonight or anybody that just want to keep in contact with you, hit us up on Twitter and just let us know if you have any questions. Hit us up on Twitter, hashtag the recruit, thoughts of a recruit, and just let us know. We'll try to answer the questions on following shows. And so I just want to give you this time real quick, Michonne, and ask, is there anything that you like to say to any young women out there who may be living for God, living for Christ, or seeking to grow in Christ that may feel like it's challenging or it's hard or they don't see the light at the end of the tunnel?
I would definitely say that the Lord told us that we would have trials. That is one thing that He guaranteed, but He also told us that it would strengthen us, and that it would give us steadfastness, and that that He would be our strength. In a practical way, I would say definitely, ladies, make sure you get in community. That is one of the things that I learned at a later age, but it's just been so fruitful for my life. Surround yourself with some women who love the Lord. Surround yourself with some women who are pursuing the Lord in the same way that you are, so that you guys can go deeper together, so you can hold one another accountable, so that you don't have to be a Lone Ranger Christian. We cannot do life alone. We just can't. Men too, but, you know, I'm talking to women right now, but we cannot do life alone. We were not called to. Jesus didn't do life alone. He wasn't by himself. He had apostles all around him. So get in community. If you need help finding community, or you need community, or whatever that may look like, definitely reach out to me via email or social media, and I'm here to pray over you and to try to connect you with some different avenues that I've been a part of that are all over DFW. So that's all I got. Thanks for having me.
And that's words of wisdom from my fiance, the beautiful, intelligent, and the godly woman that God blessed me with. But, you know, like I said, I hope something was said on tonight that blessed whoever was listening. And me and Michonne and I will be down in Lubbock on this weekend. Last week I had Dr. John Thomas on my show, and we talked about and mentioned the Operation Hope USA banquet. That's this Saturday, March 28th, where the Dr. Ben Carson will be the keynote speaker. And I'm excited about it. I went to it last year. I'm going again this year. And I'm taking my fiance with me. And, you know, we're excited about it. So if you're down there, if you're in Lubbock area, you know, hit us up. You might see us around. But, you know, once again, you've been tuned into The Recruit with Agent Reese, broadcasting on SOAR Radio by way of PDP Richardson. And we'll be back. Same time next Thursday. And until then, be blessed and be real.